In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Holy 50 days, the readings have a theme. We are enjoying the new life that was given to us through the resurrection of the Lord Christ. And as in the old days, when God took care of his people, getting them out from Egypt until he gave them the promised land, he gave them food to eat. He gave them water from the rock. He also enlightened their ways with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. From all aspects, God was in charge of his people until he gave them the new land. In the Holy 50 days, we also have the theme of the readings of Sundays, where we see that God is taking care of us as well, in the same way, but giving us the true gifts. So that's why in the second Sunday, we see that God is telling us that he is the bread of life. Instead of the manna that the people ate and died, now we are enjoying the bread that came down from heaven. Next week, we will hear about him giving the living water in his meeting with the Samaritan woman. Then we will hear him speaking about himself being the light of the world. So we know that he is the one who is going to give us the light, as he gave also in the old days, in the time when he guided his people through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Today, he is telling us, in order for us to be able to walk the journey to the end, we have to be fed with the bread of life that is his body and his blood. Many blessings that we receive when we partake of the Lord's body and blood, something that we will keep on reflecting upon, and we talk about it till the end of time. A gift that even the angels envy us for receiving such grace. How can one think that God will give us his body and his blood in order for us to eat and live forever? It's not just a blessing. It's not something like when I touch an icon, or I come close to the relics of the saints, or I stand and pray. We receive blessings every time we do something like this, but communion is different. The Eucharist is not like any other blessing. From partaking of the bread of life, simply as its name tells us, we receive life. It is the bread of life. We have no life. And when we speak about life here, we speak about life eternal, spiritual one. There is no way we can receive life in our mortal bodies unless we partake of his body and his blood. He said it very clearly in his debate with the Pharisees and the scribes in John chapter 6, when he said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread," while he was pointing at himself, "he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh." It's very clear. The bread that I shall give is my flesh. Not only that this is something that's a privilege or an advantage for his people, it is good that we take, but even he issued a warning that unless, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It is not a surprise to know that while we are walking on our feet and we are eating and drinking and we are growing in the flesh, we might be, God forbid, we might be spiritually dead. And this is one of the conditions where we might be spiritually dead, is when we do not eat and we do not drink from the blood and the body of the Son of God. That's why today the readings of the book of Acts, the Praxis, we hear about the story of St. Paul giving his sermon, and while he was talking all night, one of the youth, he was sitting on like the window in the third story, he fell asleep and he fell dead. So we read that, and when he had come up, This is about St. Paul. He had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed, and they brought the young man in alive. This man received life after St. Paul broke the bread. So now we know and understand that this bread is the bread of life. When we partake of it, we will be able to live forever. Abstaining from eating this because we are not ready, as if I am saying that I am not ready to live and receive life. I am comfortable in being spiritually dead, and I can live like this for a long time until I think that I'm going to prepare myself. This is exactly what we do when we choose this kind of reverence, that actually Saint Cyril call it a pernicious reverence, something that is wicked and evil. That when we say that out of reverence I cannot partake, I'm not ready, what hinder us from partaking? What keeps us away from the bread of life? Struggle, grudges, strife, contentions, lusts, all of these separate us from life, and thinking about that we might be doing something like this is something sad. It is the bread of life. Through the bread of life, we receive forgiveness and purification. We say in the liturgy every time we are gathered, make us all worthy, O our Master, to partake of your holies and to the purification of our souls, bodies, and spirits. As we are so much keen to keep our flesh clean and neat, we take showers every day, every other day. It is the same way also with the spirit. This spirit needs to be cleansed from the filth of sin. The only way that this spirit will receive cleansing and purification is through partaking of the body and the blood of the Son of God. Through this purification, we will be able to be incorruptible. Saint Irenaeus, in the second century, he speaks about this when he says, "For as the bread which is produced from the earth, when it receives the invocation of God, is no longer common bread, but Eucharist, consisting of two realities, earthly and heavenly, so also our bodies, when they receive the Eucharist, are no longer corruptible, having the hope of the resurrection to eternity." Not only the Holy Spirit will change the bread into body and the wine into blood, but when we partake, our corruptible bodies will change into incorruptible. We will receive in it the forgiveness and purification that will make us able to receive eternal life. It is the bread of life. Through this bread we receive purification. Also, it is the way for unity with one another and with the saints. The Pauline epistle of this blessed Sunday, we hear in it, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Members of the household of God. Ahl Bayt Allah. Imagine this grace. We are counted among the household of God. As if God and His family, we become His family when we partake of this great mystery. In the liturgy of St. Basil also we chant and say that we may become one body and one spirit, and may have a share and inheritance with all the saints who have blessed us since the beginning. Unity should be a goal, an aim, when we come to the church. Maybe we are so much acquainted with and we are aware of the issue of being purified from our sins, receiving forgiveness. But the unity sometimes is something that we are not very much careful about it. Some of us even do not care about it at all, being united with everyone around us, putting an end to a contention or a strife, cleansing our hearts from all grudges and enmity towards one another. It's a goal that God made before all of us. He gave us His body and His blood so we can be one with one another. something that when we ignore, we cannot be members in the body of Christ. You will never see members in the same body struggling. A hand is hurting another hand, or an eye hurting something. It doesn't happen this way. We have to be aware that we are called here to be one, have to be aware that we are called to be the members in one body. Through partaking of the Eucharist, we are working, contributing, coming together to come united in body and spirit. Through this great mystery also we receive enlightenment and understanding. The same epistle of St. Paul today tells us, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And we hear also the Lord speaking about, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, this is the Lord Christ speaking and talking with the two disciples of Emmaus after the resurrection, that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Only when he broke the bread, they were able to recognize and come to know him. Through the bread of life, we receive enlightenment. Our understanding differs. We come to know what is true and what is false, what is heavenly and what is not, what should be the things that we are occupied with, and what are the trivial things that we should not waste our time in. Through this great mystery as well, we receive spiritual growth. Being the building of God, we grow together into a holy temple. No one of us can grow and become a mature person in Christ unless we partake of this mystery. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot just say that I will live and I will worship by myself. I will be able to grow without the help of this mystery. For all of these blessings, St. Cyril speaks to us and says, let those who have baptized and tasted the divine grace understand this. If they are sluggish or reluctant about going to church, and for long periods of time keep away from the Eucharist gift through Christ, pretending a pernicious reverence by not partaking of him sacramentally, they exclude themselves from eternal life. Thus, the refusal, through seeming an expression of reverence, is turned into a snare and an offense. What we might assume that I will refrain from partaking because I respect the mystery will turn into a snare and offense. Let us come ready every day, every time we attend the liturgy, to partake of the Eucharist. It is not an invitation for some people. It's not for us in some time. It is for all of us. Everyone who attend should partake of this mystery, through which we receive all of these blessings, through which we receive eternal life, purification, unity with one another and with the saints, enlightenment and spiritual growth. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.